Well, thank you so much, Isabel, Amy, Shannon. I heard a hint of a Christmas song in there. That really made that one special for me, I'll be honest with you. But what a wonderful, wonderful special medley to share this morning. It is all about Him. That's why we're here. And thank you, Louise, for your beautiful instrumental meditation. Just beautiful. It is all about Him. That's why we're here. That's why we worship. That's why we come together. That's why you're there. That's why you listen on the radio every Sunday faithfully. That's why you tune in on our website or on Facebook faithfully. Because you know in your life, it is all about Him. I want to do something a little different. I want us to bow in prayer. Let's have a prayer just a moment based on this wonderful song we've just heard. Let's pray. Father, it is all about you. Everything in our life is all about you. Everything we do is all about you. And I know, God, we try to stray away from that, and we try to allow ourselves to go down a different path. But, God, you always seem to bring us back. You always seem to show us the way back to where we need to be. Because it is all about you, God, and our lives are worthless, and our lives have no purpose, and our lives have no meaning without you. It is all about you, Father. Thank you. May this time, as your word is proclaimed, as your word is read, may it truly be all about you also. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Most every believer, I'm sure, has a favorite scripture. Maybe it's a verse or two. Maybe you don't even know the reference in the Bible to those verses, but you have a favorite couple of lines or paragraph or sentences from the scriptures that is just something that always speaks to you. Maybe as a child, your mama or grandmom or someone talked to you and said this to you, and it was kind of just ingrained in who you are, these words from the scriptures. Maybe it was a scripture that was significant to you during a particularly difficult time in your life, or maybe just recently in the last year, in 2020, I think a lot of people have found scriptures that speak to them, maybe they have never spoken to them before because of all we've been going through and all the struggles and the different things and different ways we're having to deal with life. But it's words that speak to you. It's words that, and this is the great thing about the Bible and about the scriptures and the fact that this is the revelation of God and this is God's way of talking to you, is words that talk just to your heart. And only your heart really can hear them in that way at that particular time. That's why you can go back and read the same scripture or think about the same scripture later, and it can have kind of a different effect on you and make you feel a different way and understand things a little bit differently. But they're words that speak to you. They're words that maybe comfort you. There are words that give you some assurance in maybe a difficult time that you're going through in your life. And you consider it to be one of your favorite scriptures. If you ask me, what are my favorite scriptures? Well, I've got several in mind that I could easily say are ones that really speak to me. Probably one of the biggest, best ones is from the Psalms, and we're looking at the Psalms this morning. The 91st Psalm, which says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High is going to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." Listen, He is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God that I trust. Surely, He's going to save you from that snare, from that fowler's snare, and from that deadly pestilence that the Psalms talk about. Psalms were written by, we think, Moses. We think David. It's really unclear who wrote which psalm exactly and how many each person maybe wrote. But the writer of the 91st Psalm, I think, makes it very clear to us that they believe, that person believes, that the Almighty God is always there, is always present, that He is your protector. He is your refuge. He is a fortress. Imagine, a fortress. He's not just a wall. He's not just a barrier. He's a fortress. surrounding the believer and protecting the believer. Everybody needs a refuge, right? Everyone needs, at one time or another in your life, everyone needs a place where you can go that is a safe place, a refuge for you, a place where you know without a doubt in your mind or heart that you are safe and protected within the confines of that refuge. You know, sometimes on Fridays when I keep Hudson, little 16-month-old Hudson, I was with him just this past Friday, and I can't remember what happened, but something happened to make a loud bang, and it startled him. And guess what Hudson did? He came running up to me. I was the only one there, but he came running up to me because to him, I was his refuge. I was his protector. He knew I was his fortress. And he knew whatever that was out there, it was going to have to go through Pawpaw to get to him. That's who God is, our refuge, our fortress. Just like any child would go to a parent or to a grandparent. But isn't it fascinating? I found it very fascinating that we so often do not recognize God's presence in a situation and God's protection within a situation, or God's maybe even provision through a situation until after the fact. When it's all going on and the storm is raging, we don't necessarily see it very well and notice it very much, but in retrospect, we're able to look back and we're able to see just God's fingerprints all over everything. How God was always there. How God did provide the way. How God did make sure that the path was cleared for us. And that's when you realize, when you look back and you see those ways God has been in your life, and I'm sure each one of you have your own times in your life when you needed a refuge, when you needed someone. And I'm sure that God has always been there for you, and you can look back and you can see that, how God has been there for you in those times. But it's in those times that we have to say, if not for you, who knows what would have happened? If not for you, God, who knows where I would be or what would have occurred? You know, one of the most frightening days of my life, and I've not had very many frightening days. God has spared me from a lot of that sort of thing, but one of the most frightening days of my life occurred when I was just 12 years old. When I was 12 years old, I had been in the Boy Scouts for close to a year, maybe not quite a year at that time, and we were preparing to go to summer camp. We used to go to camp every summer for a week at Shields Scout Reservation, which is up near Tryon, North Carolina. And in preparation to going to Boy Scout camp, our scoutmaster wanted to evaluate how each of us could swim, because at scout camp, you're either considered a beginner, an intermediate, or a swimmer person. So he wanted to kind of get an evaluation of who would fall into what category. So on a weekend camping trip before we went to Boy Scout camp, we were all camping near this small lake. And to check out our swimming abilities, he had us go down to the pier and one by one jump into the water off the end of the pier, which was probably 20 feet deep there, swim out until he blew a whistle, and then turn around and swim back to the pier. Now, clearly, this exercise wasn't thought through very well before we participated in this. And I knew I wasn't a great swimmer. I mean, I knew that I could get out of the water and I could get around and I could get from here to there. And I never had a problem with swimming. I didn't know the overhand stroke very well, but I could side stroke all the way to China. And I could do the backstroke, no problem. So I wasn't too concerned about this. I wasn't having a problem with it at all. So when it came my turn, without any hesitation at all, I jumped right in there. And I started swimming. And I swam. I did some side stroke for a little while, you know, and some backstroke for a little while. And I tried that overhand thing, but I was never really too good at that. I got about 30 yards away from the pier, out into the middle of the lake, and I heard the whistle. So I started turning around to head back toward the pier. And when I made that turn, I'm not sure what happened, but something happened to my left leg. You ever had leg cramp? You know how they hurt? Well, I had the leg cramp of my life. I mean, the worst leg cramp I could possibly, and if you've had a leg cramp before, you know how badly they hurt and how you need to try to stretch your leg out and move it around a little bit to try to get it to ease up. I had the worst leg cramp of my life right as I was turning around to head back toward the pier. So here I am. I'm 900 to 1,000 feet from the pier, probably 30 or 40 feet of water up under me. I couldn't swim a stroke. I couldn't do anything. It was hurting so badly. I couldn't paddle my feet. I couldn't move at all. Anyone who has been in a position like that in the water has probably reacted the way I reacted. I panicked. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was moving my arms, trying to make some headway back to the pier, but I was going nowhere, and I was getting exhausted. My arms were hurting. I was wearing out. Now, that's been a long time ago. That's been 48, 49 years ago that this all happened. But I can still remember it. I still remember going under the water and thrashing as much as I could to get back up to catch a breath and then going back down. And I remember going back under the water one more time thinking, I've got nothing left. I have got nothing left to get out of this water. And just when I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do, I felt this push on my back. Kind of a shove upward out of the water, a push. And I popped up out of the water, and then I felt another push. Then I felt another push. And that push sort of gave me some momentum to kind of move forward. And so I started, you know, doing the good old dog paddle that we all do very well, doing that good old dog paddle, trying to keep the momentum going. And I kept feeling these pushes and these pushes and these pushes. And after a few minutes or so, I finally got back to that ladder of that pier, and I grabbed hold of that ladder and turned around and looked behind me. And there was another scout, my friend Nelson, who had come out there and pushed me out of the water back to the pier. Now, after I had crawled back up onto the pier and just tried to catch my breath in exhaustion, and later on that evening, I went to Nelson, to his tent where he was going to be sleeping, and I said, Nelson, if not for you, I would have drowned. If not for you, Nelson, this would be a totally different evening than it is right now. A different evening for me, and certainly a different evening for all of the scouts there. A different evening for my mom and dad, for sure. A different evening for my brothers, for sure. A different evening for a lot of people. If not for you. If not for you coming and pushing me out of that water. Now, let's face it, I didn't realize at the time, because I was only 12 years old, I didn't realize the real trickle-down effect that this, something like this would happen, would have in my life or in everyone's life. You ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, the great Christmas music movie? I love It's a Wonderful Life. That movie about George Bailey. You know, George thinks his life is worthless, and he says, I wish I had just never been born. And then this old crazy angel named Clarence comes and shows George what life would have been like without him in the world, and how children would not have been born, and people would not have had homes, and lives would not have been touched because he wasn't there. Well, I've thought over the years, without Nelson, if not for Nelson, things would have been a lot different. If not for him, there would have been no Chris and Rhonda. If not for him, there would have been no Pastor Chris. If not for him, there would have been no my son Ryan, who married Sydney and then Hudson, and then coming up Rhett. There would have been none of that. If not for him, you wouldn't have to, or hopefully want to, read these stories about my life and these devotions every single morning of the weekdays, because that life would have never occurred. Those experiences would have never happened. If not for him. If not for, you know, I'm sure you can look back in your life, and I hope you're doing that right now, thinking back in your life at the times in your life when somebody came to your rescue. Somebody was your refuge, and somebody came to help you when you needed it the most. And you can look back at that time and you can say, wow, if not for this, or if not for that person. David, the writer in the Old Testament of many of the Psalms, or at least given credit for those writings, was deeply aware of that idea. If not for God, everything would have been different. If not for God, where would we be? If not for God being our refuge and our strength, as it says in the 91st Psalm, the one who saves us from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence, the one who keeps us from getting ensnared from the evil things that can happen around us in this world. If not for God, where would we be? David and I think even Moses understood that if not for God, the Israelites would have died at the edge of the Red Sea. It would have never opened for them. If not for God, they would have clearly been destroyed in these battles that they had to face heading to the Promised Land. They would have surely been conquered. If not for God, they would have more than likely starved to death out there wandering in the wilderness. So David praises God with these psalms, these songs even. And if you look at like Psalm 120 to 134, and you may even see in the heading in your Bible, if you're looking at those psalms, you'll see that it talks about them being songs of ascent. What that is these are songs, not just words, not just poems, but they're actual lyrics to songs that the people would sing, this great throng of people would sing as they were marching toward the great Jewish festivals there at the temple. They would sing these as loud as they could, these psalms, praising God for being the refuge and being the strength and being the one who is always there and the one who is always with us. Praising God for constantly having delivered them through all the trials and the struggles that they had faced in their lives. And, you know, I don't know the tunes to the songs. I wish I did. But even if I did, I probably wouldn't sing it because I don't want you to turn off your device. But they sang these wonderful songs like from the 121st Psalm. I lift up my eyes into the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Just imagine that being a song that they're singing. And it's almost like there's a question and a response where you can imagine part of them singing the question, where does my help come from? And the other is singing the response, your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, singing these wonderful songs. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. These just wonderful, wonderful psalms that were songs of ascent that they would sing as they traveled. Song after song they would sing, praising God and His presence and His works and His deliverance. And they sang it because they knew He was their strength. He was their refuge. And if not for Him, if not for God, the 124th Psalm that we're looking at this morning, we're going to read through, is one of those songs of ascent that they would sing as they traveled to the temple, probably written by David. It says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, you notice David repeats it, is making sure that they hear him. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. You see the reference back? The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Now take that psalm, that 124th psalm, that song of ascent, and plug it in. If not for God, what? If not for God in your life, for me, if not for God, I'd have drowned when I was 12 years old. If not for God, how could we have endured the loss of that loved one that we had to endure years ago? If not for God, how could I have possibly made that tough decision that I had to make a while back? If not for God, how could I have dealt with those financial problems that a global pandemic has caused? If not for God, how could I have dealt with a destroyed marriage that someone maybe has been through? If not for God, I would have probably given up long ago, right? If not for God, what song of ascent could you sing? What ways could you take this and plug it into your life and into your past? Singing the story of God's presence in your life and praising Him for all the things that He has done in your life, if not for God. And you know, this church can also sing those same songs. This church can clearly sing these songs saying, well, if not for God, this church could have never survived 146 years. If not for God, how could we have survived wars in this world, conflicts, church splits? How could we have survived all of that? If not for God, how could this church have survived another transition to a new pastor 2 years ago? If not for God, there would be no light. No light that allows us to clothe those who need clothing, feed those who are hungry, care for those in this community, if not for God. I truly believe that in the years to come, if we can ever get out of 2020, and I know it seems like it's lasted 5 years, but it's only been about 8 months, if we can ever get out of 2020, I truly believe that we will look back, surviving a global pandemic, looking back at all the social unrest that has occurred and been occurring in the world, look back at how we've all worked together as the church and continuing to be the church during this time. And hopefully, in the years to come, we're going to look back and we're going to be able to say, God, if not for you, let's have a prayer together. God, if not for you, where would we be? If not for you, how would we have found you? How would we have known the truth of who you are in our lives? God, if not for you, how would this church have dealt with the trials and the strife and the struggles to allow it to continue to be this light in this community that changes lives every single day? God, if not for you, we can all plug in that fill in that blank easily. God, as the psalmist did, we want to just praise you and sing songs to you and honor you and worship you, because we recognize just as they did that you are our refuge, you are our strength, you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. You are the one who helps us and guides us and leads us. And maybe, God, we don't see it as it was happening, but God, we know that it's true, and we know the day will come, we'll look back and we see it. We see your hands on everything. We see your footprints, your fingerprints. We know you've been there, and we know you're here now. Father, if not for you, there would be no life. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for your presence, and thank you, God, for your promise that you are always our refuge. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name.